your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem.
All right, welcome to voting day, Lacrosse Talk PM. Rick Solem in, I guess, online, on air with Grant Bills, Wisco Sports Show, joining us. A little bit later, UW Lacrosse political science professor Dr. Anthony Chagoski is going to join us. In about 10 minutes, he's going to join us and kind of break down everything that's happened in, I don't want to say the last, maybe the last 2 or 3 weeks in terms of Wisconsin elections. Grant, would you say like that's the main thing that we can you know, poke Anthony about?
Yeah, last couple of hours, really since this morning, I don't know. I think we can really focus on today. We could talk about just today in the last couple hours for a couple of, we could do a couple shows on what's gone on today. This election has been unlike anything I've ever seen.
The last 12 hours. So yesterday we come on air and literally minutes before Rick Solem pops on the U.S. Supreme, no, the state Supreme Court voted down Governor Evers, whatever you call it now, I forget the terminology, but his emergency proclamation to delay or postpone today's vote in person and to call another special session for today to bring in the Republicans and let's talk it out. Let's figure out how we can do this vote better. And so we're not putting hundreds of thousands of lives at risk who go to the polls. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court right before that said, nope, vote's going to happen. And I've been reading, Grant, I don't know if you've been reading this, but I've been reading that either the Wisconsin Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court or both, they did this remotely. So they did this virtually. They made a virtual vote, which is kind of like the biggest kick in the you-know-what to anyone that's going to vote. Oh, you guys had to meet virtually to tell Wisconsin voters they have to go vote in person among a stay-at-home order? Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And I'll just point us out, they voted along, quote-unquote, party lines. So that also happened. Of course they did, right? And the U.S. Supreme Court right after the show, so we didn't even get to talk about this. So I believe Friday, a federal judge allowed absentee ballots. No, what it had to have been before Friday. He gave a 1 day extension on getting an absentee ballot. And so that, I think that was to Thursday. So Wednesday to Thursday. I think you had till Thursday at 5 p.m. to get an absentee ballot. And then he gave essentially a 6 day extension to turn your absentee ballot in. And if you didn't turn your absentee ballot in, I'll just tell you, I'm pretty sure the post offices are closed. So if you have an absentee ballot in your hand, throw it away and go to the polls. Like, you have to go to the polls now. They're open till 8 p.m., I believe. And as long as you're in line, you get to vote. I'm sure the lacrosse area, there's not huge lines. We don't have to. We have a little bit of privilege here. As far as I can tell, I could be wrong. I mean, maybe some of you out there had to wait in line. I know when I went to the Eagle Center just an hour ago, there was a little bit of a line to wash your hands. And they were requiring you to wash your hands before you went in. The police were out there in masks. It was a little bit of a weird scene. I don't know, Grant, if you went to any of the polling places, but a little bit of a weird scene. Police were wearing masks. A lot of people wearing masks. So, and we're just going to have to get used to that, I guess. But also, there's plexiglass in front of all the poll workers. And I know they're not listening to the show because they're working the polls right now. I can't say it like that, can I? But they're at the polls right now and behind plexiglass wearing masks and helping people with questions and voting and all that stuff. So thanks to them, even though they can't hear the show. I don't think they've got their phone Wisdom app, their phone on the Wisdom app and listening right now.
Probably so. Not while they're working the poll.
Yeah, that would be ear.
A lot of National Guard, I was just reading about this, 2,400 National Guard workers got called in to be poll workers today. So a lot of National Guard. There were about 250 National Guard soldiers or members sent to Milwaukee and Dane County. So they got a lot of them, but there were 2,400 that were called in.
Yeah, and Lacrosse cut polling places from 13 to 8, partly because they don't have enough poll workers. But Milwaukee, the biggest, like, eye-opening you know, if you want to paint a picture of what the scene is, the big eye opener is Milwaukee, where they had over a thousand poll workers say they're not going to put their lives at risk to contract this virus. And they went from 180 polling stations to the numbers floating around are from 5 to 6 to 12, somewhere around there. So 180 down to 5 to 10 polling places in Milwaukee. Imagine waiting in line. I know I had a friend post, and maybe I'll pull it up in a little bit, but I had a friend post like doing the math, you know, for the amount of people in the city of Milwaukee who would have to go to vote at 5 polling stations, how long they would have to wait if you had the polls open for 12 hours, how long those, you know, 100,000 or whatever people would have to wait in line if you took 30 seconds to vote, which nobody takes 30 seconds to vote. And that number was a little bit ridiculous. We got just a minute before we go to news and we bring on UWL political science professor Anthony Chergowski on. But I think Main Street Guy is waiting. Main Street Guy is not waiting anymore. Okay.
He got impatient.
Yeah. I mean, people wait for like 4 hours to talk to, you know, Colin Cowherd or Rush Limbaugh. I'm sure they're on the phones for hours at a time. They probably call in 2 hours before the show just to get on hold so they can talk for 12 seconds. And Main Street Guy couldn't wait for a minute. But now he's going to have to wait for a while because we're going to go to news. And we're going to bring on UWL political science professor Dr. Anthony Chergowski. And we're going to break all this stuff down for the next 45 minutes. So if you got questions for him, 608-785-7914, the Sugarloaf 4 talk and text line. Or if you just want to talk about your experience, I know Tom said voting was very safe and efficient in Alaska. And of course it was, because we have a little bit of privilege here, because I'm sure that there's not thousands of people waiting to vote at one of 5 polling places in a city like Milwaukee. All right, let's go to news. We'll be back in a minute right here on Wisdom. Welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. If you want to get in here with UWL political science professor Dr. Anthony Chergowski, you can. 608-785-7914, the Sugarloaf Ford talk and text line. Before I get to you, Dr. Chergowski, I just want to tell people to go search on Twitter or on Facebook, I believe, Robin Voss. So just go search Robin Voss and check out what he looks like today in his completely like garbage bag, blue, baby blue suit, baby blue gloves, a mask. Is he wearing a hairnet? I can't see. No hairnet. He doesn't have a lot of hair. So just anyone out there, just go search what Robin Voss looks like today as he's working the polls as well. I like saying that now. All right, yeah. Dr. Anthony Chergowski, I haven't been able to talk to you yet, but I guess you come on air with Hayes in the Morning a couple of times, huh?
Hey, I like these hours better, Rick.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
It's great to be on with you.
Yeah, you too. All right, so where do you want to start when it comes to this entire fiasco? Because I was telling Grant a little while ago, we could start 2 weeks ago, and Grant's like, or we could start 12 hours ago. And you kind of want to start like at eight in the morning when people are starting to go to the polls, huh?
Yeah, well, first, Rick, I got to say, people have to check out that picture of Robin Voss that you're talking about, where he's saying it's safe and just fine to go out to vote. Meanwhile, he's completely covered in protective gear. And I think being covered in protective gear is like the universal sign that everything's okay, right?
Yeah, so, definitely. I think he's got goggles on, too. They look like they're safety glasses. And then he's got the blue mask. Like a nurse's mask. He looks like he's a nurse out there working at a hospital, and there are some videos where he's saying, I can't hear it in here, but he's saying everything's perfectly fine, which is just like, really, are you doing that on purpose for comedic purposes? Because that is pretty funny. If he's trying,
well,
you know,
yeah,
I don't think he's.
He looks like he's at a hospital and he's at a polling place, and that kind of shows you the state of our election system right now. That people who look like they just came off the latest shift at the local hospital are actually staffing the polling places, and you know it's been a real big effort to just make something resembling a functional election happen today. It's been a big lift by these local governments, but. You know, you have seen vast disparities across the state in wait times for voting. 2 hours is kind of the number in Milwaukee, and then you have like 3 hours, I've heard, in Green Bay. So, And then in other areas, Rick, you know, like in La Crosse, there's reports of low wait times. In other parts of the state, reports of low wait times. So you see these vast disparities in wait times across the state.
Yeah, it's always hard to make an argument about something when people around here go to the polls and they're like, it was fine. There was like six people there and I didn't even have to wait at all. And it's like, yeah, I go vote in Houston at my primary a couple of weeks ago. And I literally was the only person voting in the office. And I went and I just screamed because this is who I am. I'm like, oh man, I got to wait forever for this. And everyone started laughing. But the mood, I went to the Recreational Eagle Center at UWL and the mood was a little bit different. First of all, the police yelled at me because I talked to Walsh. He's one of the sergeants there. And he's like, go on in. And I started to walk in and another officer in a mask is like, no, you got to wash your hands. And I'm like, oh, and I point to Walsh and Walsh is like, he's media. He's fine. And I'm like, I'm not going to touch anything, officer. And then I kind of went in there and the mood's a little weird because there's poll workers behind plexiglass and they're all wearing masks and different people are in there voting and they have their own, you know, unique ways of trying to protect themselves. Not crowded. There were seven or eight people washing their hands outside the thing waiting and they weren't 6 feet apart. But yeah, I think we are a little bit lucky in not having to live in maybe in Madison or Milwaukee when it comes to this pandemic.
Yeah, we are, Rick. And what you're saying just makes me think of this comment that I saw, that out of all of the available options for how we could handle this election in Wisconsin, out of all the like 1,000 options that were out there for how to make this election go, I think we ended up on the absolute worst possible choice.
Yeah, there's easily. And is it so hard to just go? I think the way it went down in the last week or so, saying we're going to do it, we're not going to do it, we're going to extend absentee voting, and now we're not going to extend absentee voting, and we're going to do it in person, and we're not going to do it in person, we're going to do it in person. The way it went down, so many people are so confused that the best odds to allow people to vote without confusion would have been like, oh, they showed up at the polls and they were closed, and maybe there's a sign at every polling place that says, you know, the voting, in-person voting was canceled. Go to this website or call this number when you get home or tomorrow. You haven't, you know, the day has been changed to June 6th or whatever. It would have been the easiest way.
I think that's right, Rick. And, you know, the big problem with how this all went down is the lack of clear communication, the lack of decisive leadership, and just the fast pace with which all of these decisions were made. I mean, this is like a total breakdown of state government. I mean, there is room to criticize the governor. There is room to criticize the state legislature. There is room to criticize the court. No one comes out of this situation looking good. It's one of those situations where like everybody has screwed up in some respect.
Yeah, the idea that there's no other way to look at this situation, right? This is a global pandemic that nobody has any experience. Was anyone around during the Spanish flu? Is anyone still around for that? I think it was, what, 100 years ago? So, no, nobody was around. And so there's no playbook here, and we're starting to create a playbook. But, I mean, if you want to blame Evers for agreeing that the vote should go on, and then a couple days later he's like, it's getting worse, actually, so we're going to lock down the state. And then to go, well, we're going to lock down the state, except even today the city of La Crosse is banning people from playing tennis outside. So today – La Crosse, no tennis, but you guys feel free to go to the polls and vote. It's fine. You stay far apart because in tennis, you're always right on top of each other.
It's just completely contradictory messages from the government. And Rick, in a crisis, the last thing we need is contradictory and mixed signals from the government. And I think that is where I do give some criticism to Governor Evers. You know, I think that his messaging on this was a little all over the place. You know, he at first, you know, maybe said the election could go on and then wanted to call the special session. And then at the last minute, tried to delay the election. Again, like no one comes out of this crisis looking good. But I think if there's room to criticize Governor Evers, it's just that we could have used more decisive leadership and a more consistent message out of the governor's office.
Yeah, nobody comes out looking good except Robin Voss, who looks great today. Honestly, he looks fantastic in his blue garbage suit, where he definitely isn't contracting COVID-19 today. Dr. Trigalski, UW Lacrosse political science professor, is on with us. Hey, doctor, I'm going to put Main Street Guys calling in. He's got a question for you, so we're going to put him on right now, if Grant doesn't hang up on everybody.
Yeah, Bruce, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. All right, go ahead.
Okay, Doc. I think the worst part of this, for me anyway, was the flip-flopping, and then the day before the election, we're hearing that he's offering a declaration, and then that shot down. So that to me was like kind of the worst part. I went and voted today anyway. But I guess what I wanted to ask was, I heard Evers take on the situation about trying to get in touch with the Republicans and negotiate or whatever, but has there been any Republican, has they shared anything about why they chose to do that and what happened with them as far as changing the election day or any of that stuff?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think that we should be just straight up honest about why this election is being held today. The Republican Party views the Supreme Court seat on the state Supreme Court as very important. Conservative Justice Daniel Kelly is up for a 10-year term, and the calculation within the Republican Party is that lower turnout would tend to favor their cause. And so, you know, if this thing carries on for like another month, another 2 months in terms of people being able to vote, people being mailed ballots, then, you know, all of a sudden they're getting nervous about the possibility of Dan Kelly losing his seat. And so why is the election being held today? Well, it's all about the politics of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court.
And Dan Kelly's going against Jill Karofsky. Dan Kelly's a guy that was appointed by Governor Scott Walker. So it's not, he's an incumbent, but he's kind of not an incumbent in my book anyway. Just a guy that never tried a case right before he became a Supreme Court judge, right? That seems kind of weird.
Yeah. So he's up for election for the first time. And because, so one point, Rick, that I want to make is I just think it's nuts that we do not have partisan elections in Wisconsin for the state Supreme Court. I mean, Dan Kelly is the Republican candidate. Jill Karofsky is the Democratic candidate. You know, I just don't think we should. I just think we should stop pretending otherwise and treat judges as they are. They are partisans. They are political figures. You know, they're not these beings who can throw on a robe and all of a sudden all of their biases are out the door and they can be completely neutral. The whole point of battling over the state Supreme Court seat is because judges are expected to be biased. They're expected to be partisan. The stakes are really high, especially because this is a 10-year seat that is at stake in this election.
Yeah, I was arguing with WIZM's Brad Williams 2 days ago, I believe, about the idea that these, you know, at the federal level, the Supreme Court justices are appointed by the president, which, you know, they have to be vetted. But that, and then at the state level, they're voted on. And we also have a gerrymandering situation in the state, and I don't even want to get into that yet, not today anyway. We could do it another day. But we have a gerrymandering situation in the state and among a lot of states. And the idea to get rid of gerrymandering would try to take the partisan politics out of it and leave it up to, you know, some neutral body. And I was thinking, like, why can't we do that with Supreme Court judges on the state level and the national level, where we have some nonpartisan body that because at some point those judges would have to at least pretend to be nonpartisan, or we would find judges who walk the line a little bit better between, you know, left and right. And then they would have to get vetted by some nonpartisan, you know, voting, you know, people who vote on that. I don't know. Is that a stupid idea?
No, I don't think it's a stupid idea at all, Rick. I mean, in fact, something needs to be done to fix our court systems in the United States, because people have to have confidence in the courts that they will uphold the law fairly and neutrally. And all of the evidence suggests that judges decide in ways that are driven by their partisanship, driven by their ideology. And so how can people have faith in the court system under those circumstances? How can people have faith in the court system when the Republicans are fighting tooth and nail for Dan Kelly and the Democrats are doing the same for Jill Karofsky? You know, the judiciary, in my view, is just broken right now at both the state and the federal level. And so, Rick, you know, I'm open to any idea that can restore some sense of neutrality and can restore some public confidence to the court system.
Well, the way that it's not broken is when you put voting on the line and then Supreme Courts have to convene virtually to suppress the vote, which happened literally twice yesterday. It's weird how we can't get anything done in the court system until it comes to, oh, what? Voting is on the line? Voter suppression? Yeah, we're going to get that done. We're going to do that in an hour or in 12 hours. We're going to do it today. It seemed a little weird that both Supreme Courts were able to like drop everything and do that. But maybe they're social distancing and have nothing better to do.
They may not have anything better to do, Rick. And the voter breakdown on the Supreme Courts, both of them yesterday, was like the least surprising thing in history to me. You know, that you would have the four conservative justices on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court vote to go forward with the election, the two liberals voting to go against it. Then you have the five conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court voting to pull back the absentee voting date, and the liberal justices dissenting. I mean, folks got a front row seat yesterday to just how politicized and partisan, and as you pointed out, Rick, how fast acting the courts can be when these situations arise.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. We're talking with UW La Crosse political scientist Dr. Anthony Chagosky. One more thing, and then we're going to take a break at Scott's Comment the News. But you mentioned Supreme Court nominee Dan Kelly. His campaign office is based at the Republican Party of Wisconsin headquarters. So, like, what is that? Like, it doesn't even make any sense. Independent judges.
Yeah. If I could wave a magic wand and fix one thing about Wisconsin politics, you know, maybe one of the things that I would consider would be adding an R on the ballot next to Dan Kelly's name and then adding a D on the ballot next to Jill Karofsky's name.
Yeah. That would we wouldn't even need the names then. We could just put an R and a D because that's how people
exactly.
Vote.
Because that's how people vote nowadays. So.
I mean, I had Jill Karofsky on a couple of weeks ago and I said, Jill, I don't know anything about the court system. I'm not like a political nerd. I'm not like a law nerd. So you say your piece about that. And then we're going to talk about running because she's an ultra marathon runner and an Ironman athlete. And so, all right, we're really late. We're going to come back with Dr. Anthony Chagosky from UW La Crosse. And in just a minute, here's Scott's Comment and the News. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914, the Sugarloaf Ford Talk and Text Line. Dr. Anthony Chagosky, UW La Crosse political science professor, is nice enough to join us, breaking down, I don't know if we're breaking down the vote today, but just we're discussing it. Two things I want to say. Go search Robin Voss on Twitter or Facebook and look at how he's dressed today. A guy that said in-person voting is very safe. And Grant just sent me this possible hail on the Doppler in Milwaukee. So this is something Tim Grinke predicted yesterday. He said, he said anything could happen. He didn't even know the U.S. Supreme Court was going to overrule absentee ballots. He said anything could happen. And he mentioned a tornado, and not a tornado, but yeah, Tim Grinke predicting that weather would disrupt the elections as well yesterday, our La Crosse County District Attorney. I'm just kidding. He did that, but he kind of made a joke, and then I made it serious. So, all right. I got a couple of text here in terms of Robin Voss wearing a full body suit, basically looking like a doctor or a nurse coming out of surgery. And he's not all bloody or anything, but he looks maybe going into surgery and to stay safe from coronavirus. Somebody says, you have no idea which types of personal threats Speaker Voss received about his voting today. So, yeah, even Robin Voss doesn't feel safe to vote today. So, Dr. Chigowski, the what was I going to bring up? Can we expect lawsuits to follow in the next weeks, days? I don't know. In terms of just like I wasn't able to vote because I literally am locked in a room with COVID-19, or I don't know. I'm sure we could throw out lawsuits for everything, but we can get some money out of the state for this, right?
We could. I mean, this is going to be lawsuits galore. So, I mean, a nice stimulus package for the lawyers, right? I mean, it's going to be crazy amounts of lawsuits for any number of things. You know, people who maybe went to vote and got sick, people who did not receive their absentee ballot, wasn't counted. And then you get to the question of the outcome of the election. You know, will the losing candidate for the state Supreme Court race sue over the outcome of the election? That is entirely possible. So the thing is, Rick, I mean, this has been a saga that's going on for a couple days now, but it's going to go on for many more days after this because of the possibility for lawsuits and a real discussion, probably a real controversy about, like, when all is said and done, was this a free and fair election? So it's going to be interesting in the days and weeks to come.
All right, we got a couple of people on the line, Grant. I think the Watchman is waiting to ask Dr. Chigowski a question. Go ahead, Watchman.
I got a comment and a couple questions, yeah. So my comment is that I think that it was very courageous of Wisconsin to go through with this election. I think it sets a premise and a standard for the rest of the United States. It lets everybody know we're not going to just kowtow to whatever the heck is going on, including, unfortunately, this virus. That's my comment, I guess. And my question is, so let me get this straight. Wisconsin, what's Wisconsin's about 50-50, right? Democrat, Republican. I'm trying to see the state overall. It's pretty close, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very close.
Yeah, it's very close. So you got a 50-50 state. And so were the Democrats not doing their work? Were they not doing their ground game? Were they not doing their electioneering before this election? I'm just trying to figure out why they're so concerned, even before the election is over, that maybe they didn't do their job.
So what you're saying is that the Republicans and Donald Trump in particular have made a massive push to get people to go to the polls, vote in person. And I would add that, you know, in some of the Republican parts of the state, there have been relatively short waits. There hasn't been a long wait to vote. And so, you know, I mean, obviously Milwaukee is the main center of Democratic Party politics in the state, and that's where you're seeing really long lines. But you did see different messages coming out of the two sides, where Donald Trump and the Republicans were saying, get your butts to the polls today, and Democrats had more of a mixed message. So, I mean, I think it's fair to point out that the two parties were encouraging their supporters in very different ways when it came to, should you go vote, should you not go vote? The Republicans were saying, get over there and vote.
I saw a New York Times story today. The tweet from the reporter just said, I just spoke to a healthcare worker from Milwaukee, 34 years old, who is 17 weeks pregnant and has coronavirus. She requested an absentee ballot a week ago and never came. She can't go out in public without putting others in danger. So now she can't vote. So just, you know, one example of what people are going through when in-person voting is on the table and there's no alternative to absentee ballots anymore because they a judge changed that rule as well. I think we have one more caller. Cindy is calling in. Cindy, you got a question for Dr. Chigowski?
Yes, or maybe more of a comment, but when you talked in such a confident way that you knew absolutely sure that the reason Republicans wanted the election was for that judge, I happen to know people that the number one reason and what was most important for them was a precedence of what in the future would someone decide is a reason to change our election day. And that's a very, very, very important issue. And I don't think you were fair when you didn't make that suggestion as well.
Well, okay. President Trump says otherwise. He has tweeted multiple times to get out and vote for Dan Kelly. And so the message from President Trump is that Republicans should go out and vote, and they should go out and vote because Dan Kelly is on the ballot. I think that there are reasonable questions to be raised about the procedures, the messaging that came out of Governor Evers' office. And look, I'm happy to be critical about how Governor Evers has handled this, but the Republican, to say that this is about anything other than the state Supreme Court election, is just not supported by the messages coming from President Trump and other Republican leaders.
I believe, speaking of the Supreme Court, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg is, one of the dissenting judges. She wrote that part of her dissent, as of Sunday morning, 12,000 ballots reportedly had not been mailed out in Wisconsin. So on top of everything else, the people that requested absentee ballots because they're getting overwhelmed at the clerk's offices around the state in trying to get those out to people, is they're not going to get those out in time because they had to have been out already on Sunday. If they have 12,000 ballots on Sunday, what are the odds those ballots are getting to people by Monday so that people can turn them in Tuesday? It's
Those are about zero, Rick. And I mean, that's going to cost people, it's going to cost thousands of people their right to vote, unfortunately. I mean, the local officials in this whole saga are the heroes. I mean, they've been doing the best they can, but the system was not designed to handle this many absentee ballot requests. And you're seeing the system break down, not because the local officials are doing a bad job, but just because they're overwhelmed. And as a result, thousands of people will be unable to have their vote counted.
Yeah, and you talk about if the argument was, oh, we're worried about the state of Wisconsin just changing the date of the election, the date of this primary. 15 other states or so, around 15 other states did the same thing. There are 50 states in the United States. I don't know if anyone knew that. 49 states are completely controlled. Their houses are house and assembly, whatever you want to call it, Senate, House, Assembly, are completely controlled by Republicans or Democrats. The whole thing, Wisconsin completely controlled by Republicans. The only state that has a split legislature is Minnesota. But these 15 states that are completely controlled by one side of by the left or by the right have come together and figured out, you know what? We need to postpone these elections. This coronavirus thing is pretty dangerous. We have stay-at-home orders, except Wisconsin. So there's another example of like, these other states have done it, but Wisconsin didn't for some reason.
Rick, the level of partisanship in Wisconsin is just toxic. Now, I will say that the partisanship that you see all around the country is very real, the partisan divide in other states and in the country as a whole. But my goodness, is just the partisan combat nasty in this state. For people who live in Wisconsin, it's important for us to realize that this is not the norm for other states, to have this type of nasty partisanship. This is not the norm around the country. This is unique to Wisconsin to have such toxic and nasty partisanship.
I think somebody asked, why do we vote at the beginning of April when it's cold and flu season is still going on? Why not in July? I think that brings up another problem. That's Mark's question. I think that brings up another problem that the way we vote for president in presidential primaries is pretty stupid. And maybe the whole country should vote twice. The whole country should vote once when there's 10 people on the ballot. And maybe 2 months, 3 months from then, the whole country should vote again when there's 2 people on the ballot. I don't know. I'm solving all kinds of problems here.
You're just a mad scientist there, Rick. And that might have helped in this situation because it's a lot easier to move a presidential primary when that is the only thing on the ballot. But when you have these other elections, but especially the high-stakes Supreme Court election, then it becomes a lot more intense, then it becomes a lot more complicated. So these governors that had moved elections before were just moving presidential primaries. But when you add in these other elections into the mix, then that adds a whole nother dimension to the situation.
Okay, yeah, that does make sense. I guess you ruined my plan there.
Dr. Chergovsky, while we have you, can I ask you one question? And Rick, I hate to cut you off, but we're in like separate studios, so I don't know the best way to signal
you. You could have messaged me.
Yeah, that's true. I want to ask about what comes next, right? The aftermath of this election, and you mentioned the thought of lawsuits, and I think that's a guarantee, not a possibility. I was thinking back to the Iowa caucuses, which happened in early February, if I'm remembering correctly, because I remember the reaction to the Iowa caucuses and the strong reaction from the right, just condemning and blasting Iowa and the Democratic Party for not being able to hold a caucus, right? Because it was such a mess. I just wonder how Republicans in this state and around the country, all the way up to Donald Trump, are going to look at Wisconsin's primary election tomorrow and in the days to come with a straight face and say that this was legitimate when just a month or so ago, man, we wouldn't give Iowa a break, right? So how is this going to be treated, and how is this going to be spun moving forward, especially by Republicans who are the driving force to keep the election today?
Well, it is a great question, Grant. And I'll just say, you know, one of the legacies of this election, and I'll say I don't pin the blame entirely on one party or the other. But regardless of where you place the blame, the simple truth is that this is a national embarrassment for Wisconsin. And so the question is, what comes next? Well, lawsuits aplenty. And then when the results are announced, do people accept the legitimacy of the election, as you pointed out? I mean, if we thought the situation in Wisconsin politics couldn't get much worse, it just has. You know, when you have people, you know, where it's uncertain if the loser of the election will accept the results. I mean, that is a real possibility, and that would be a real low point for Wisconsin politics.
All right, we're speaking with UW La Crosse political scientist, Dr. Anthony Chergovsky. We're going to take another quick break. And during the break, we hope that Eric from Sparta will call in, because he did call earlier, but I think he had a question for Dr. Chergovsky. So maybe during this break, Eric will call in. All right, we're going to be back on Wisdom after this. Welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM, 608-785-7914, the Sugarloaf 4 Talk and Text Line. Dr. Anthony Chergovsky on the phone with me. I have a couple of texts, and I'm just going to get to these, roll through these, and maybe we'll get to these calls too with 5 minutes to go. But can someone with expertise, so that would be you, Dr. Chergovsky, tell me whether either court decision yesterday, Supreme Court's, can or will have any bearing on whether the November elections could be moved or canceled? If this virus like gets really bad, does the presidential election? We argue with this with Keith Knutson from Viterbo very briefly, and Keith said no, because the Constitution says the date is the date, that the election has to happen. But can it be postponed or changed somehow?
Yeah, Keith is right about that. There's no way to change the date of the presidential election, so that will happen. But I think the question going forward is, what happens if we have to rely on mailed-in ballots? You know, if we're still in this situation in November, I think the time to prepare for that is now, you know, because we don't know what the situation will be in November. We have to have a free and fair election. And so while the date cannot be moved, the preparations for different scenarios, those preparations are essential at this stage.
Another question Ryan has. I don't know if this is a question or so much as a great idea. Ryan, so then why do we even have a date to vote? Why don't we just keep sending out mailers until we get every single voter's opinion? Maybe not get every single voter's opinion, but other states already do this, right? They just mail in votes?
Yeah. Washington State does mail in votes. And they have, of course, unsurprisingly, they have some of the highest voter turnout in the country. But, you know, these voting laws are all policy choices that the states make. The states have extreme flexibility in determining how the elections work. And so if Wisconsin wanted to ramp up its mail in votes, it could do so. The states can really make a lot of changes. And so there are any number of possibilities that the states could explore. But what is essential is to prepare for the worst in November.
Yeah, it would be nice just to get a ballot at home, and then I could do all the research, because usually I just bring my phone into the booth and start to figure out who these other people on the ballot are. I think Eric from Sparta was nice enough to call back. Eric, you're on with Dr. Chergovsky. Go ahead. Maybe.
We don't have Eric. Rick. We have Clyde.
Clyde. Hey, Clyde. Okay, go ahead. You got like 45 seconds, Clyde.
All right. Well, first, 2 weeks ago, the governor said that it was imperative the election be held today because of the local officials' elections, because they, constitutionally, their terms end today, and we couldn't have many different positions that were vacant. Also, I'm wondering why constantly Milwaukee and Madison are suppressing vote because they do not staff their polling stations enough. Always, every election, regardless, they have 4 or 5 hours waiting to vote, whereas over here at the town of Onalaska, where Mary Reinhart is the clerk, she had a super efficient system today. I talked to 3 or 4 people that came out after.
All right, Clyde. Thanks for the call, Clyde. You way over 45 seconds. Anthony, Milwaukee's not doing their job.
It's about resources, Rick. Some areas have them, some areas do not, and that explains the disparities in wait times. That explains why some areas have a smoother process than others.
All right. So, does this set the table for other states to hold elections down the road here if this virus gets worse? What Wisconsin just did.
Yeah, you know, I think that the debacle in Wisconsin is certainly going to be a warning sign that, you know, you can't move too quickly to move back to in-person voting. So what I expect is that there will be an increased push toward mail ballots after, you know, people have after this has fully sunk in, I think that mail-in ballots, that will get some momentum as a potential reform.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dr. Anthony Chagowski, UW La Crosse Political Science. Thanks for joining us. All right. So that's going to do it for the show today. I will say I was arguing with Libertarian Guy, and I will say that because Governor Evers didn't act so quickly, part of that is he's a rookie governor, and he probably doesn't want to step on a lot of toes. All right. That's going to do it. We're out.